Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, December 5th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Right? Today, I'm going to have a special show. Because the story is kind of parallel to a situation I was going through at once upon a time, right? But it's a story and a narrative I think all Bohemians need to hear. Because it impacts us all. It tells a story about us, who we are, what we are dealing with. Recently I got a letter. I got a letter of sponsorship from one of the frequent callers of Guardian Radio. I'm very familiar with him. We exchange all the time ideas about the Bahamas and how to improve it. We talk politics back and forth. But when I got this letter, the letter touched me. It touched me to the point where I said, I understand that you are seeking sponsorship, but I need to do something bigger. Because the story you have, the story about you, is important to be heard, because it's not just a story of sponsorship, it's a story of a journey, right? And I didn't send this to Aaron, and Aaron, I asked Aaron to stay back with me. I'm going to forward this to you right now, Aaron, so get ready. I want you to read it for me. I like how you read. You sound different, right? It's a smoother voice. Aaron Green. Send. That's why you have these computers. You get that, Aaron? I want you to read that for me. And Marvin, if you are listening now, can you call the radio station for? My guest today will be Marvin Johnson. And I want him to introduce himself and talk about his journey. But before that, because I'm still waiting on him to call in, right, the regular radio station. Before that, I want you to hear the letter. Listen to the letter itself. Because I'm seeking sponsorship. I'm seeking assistance. And I want the listening radio audience to listen in and commit, pledge, assist me in helping my friend Marvin. But Aaron, I want you to read that letter for me. And Marvin, like I say, if you can call in right now and so we can start this interview process. Okay? But go ahead.
All right. So this is a sponsorship request for Marvin Johnson's eye examination. Being a diabetic patient for more than 10 years has taken a serious toll on my body, including my eyesight. In an effort to recover and correct my vision, I have been able to secure an eye examination appointment in the state of Florida at the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute, where they will be examining the current condition of my eyesight in totality and take the necessary corrective measures in restoring my vision. Due to my current employment circumstances, I am requesting your assistance via monetary donation to acquire a total of $1,500 on or before December 18th, 2023. I am scheduled to travel to the United States of America on December the 19th, 2023 to meet the eye appointment. I am accepting monetary donations via the below banking details, wire transfer or direct deposit and or cash. You want me to read that, banking details?
Yeah, because I'm going to read it throughout the show today. As soon as Marvin call in, like, so we could interview and tell the story. But I want you to read that, and then we can have our conversation.
All right. So the bank name is Royal Bank of Canada. The bank account number is 731-289-5. That's 731-289-5. The branch number is 05745 Palmdale Branch, and the account name is Marvin Roy Johnson. Your kind assistance in this endeavor would be greatly appreciated as I explore all avenues in restoring my eyesight. Should you have any questions and or concerns or would like to know more, feel free to contact me via my mobile number, 242-565-0931. Sincerely, Marvin Johnson.
And I have Marvin on the line right now. But as you know, I deal with diabetes, mm-hmm. right? I have good numbers now. But at one point in time, you know, my numbers were extreme, mm-hmm. right? Dealing with the situation. At one point in time, when I was inside a brief stint inside the hospital, I could not see, right? My visions became impaired. I mean, blurry. In fact, with the medication, I could not even see with my glasses. I had to take the glasses off to see better. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you know, your feet tingle. The nurse warned you that, you know, if you step on things, you might lose a limb. But no, but God sees his way with me. I'm a blessed individual, chosen, that our Lord put his hand on me and said, no, you don't have to go through this, right? But I came across, whilst I was going to deal with my situation, I got a call from Marvin, who's a chronic caller who calls here, and he gave us advice on what I need to do, what he is doing, right, and his journey. And I said, Marvin, I want to hear that journey. I want to hear the journey about being diagnosed, and what you're going through. And that story is important because diabetes is a plague here right now into the Bahamas. A number of people are going through that. But without further going on, Marvin should be on the line right now. Let me make sure that's him. Marvin, are you on the line?
Yes, good morning, C.A. Nuri, and good morning to Aaron Green.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Marvin, Let me start off with this. I asked you earlier, can you come in to the studio to have this interview? And what was your response?
I would have loved to. You know, I like microphones and like lights, but unfortunately for me, I am also a renal patient. I'm recovering from a fractured femur because of my eyesight. 7 months ago, I fell down and I fractured my femur, so I cannot really traverse like I want to, and then I can't. I am visually impaired also. So it would have been kind of difficult for me to come and get into the studio.
Okay, I want to tell a narrative of your story, your journey of being diagnosed with diabetes and then the number of things that you are going through, right? And I also want to have a conversation because you take, what that cleaning of the blood is, dialysis.
Yes, sir.
And I want also you inform me on going to a PMH to take dialysis. What is that narrative? How does that happen? But tell me, I'll start off from you go into the hospital, they diagnose you, say that you are a diabetic. Let's start from that narrative.
Yes. The journey started out about 20 plus years ago, being a diabetic. I had to come to grips with the fact that, you know, I was diabetic, and I was kind of ignorant about the disease itself for the first 5-6 years. But after doing a lot of studies and moving around and researching stuff, I found out a way to kind of deal with my diabetes. Unfortunately for me, by the time as I found that out, it affected my pressure, my pressure and my eyesight. I'm trying to go to the Soldier Road Clinic in 2014. It was a long list. And getting in there was like pulling teeth, several teeth. However, I finally got in to Soldier Road. But the problem was, what I had was a slight retinal detachment, as well as cataracts. And getting in there, I finally got in. But what happened was we didn't have a retina specialist. And the CUBA program that the Progressive Liberal Party had started was suspended by the Free National Movement. So we were almost just running around in circles. However, years later, about 2-3 years later, a specialist was identified, a Bahamian specialist. I wouldn't call her name. And then she came in to do this stuff, but she had a list of about 300, you know, and you could have fallen anywhere from 1 to 300 and not less. But fortunately for me, I was number 20. Now, when it came time for the operation, a few years later, I was somehow I got in the number one position for surgery to be the first Bahamian to have retina surgery done in the Bahamas by a Bahamian. I was prepped for the surgery, rolled into the operating room, only to be rolled right back out to find out that the machines that was in there wasn't working. Wow. You know, what a close call. So I was rolled back out and rescheduled for surgery a couple of years later. Now, I got my appointment several years later, same doctor, at Princess Margaret Hospital. And I went in for the left eye surgery. I was seeing 50% out of my left eye when I went in. But after the surgery, I came out the next morning. The left eye was totally black. It's still black today. I cannot see anything out of the left eye. A few years later, I went back to Soldier Road to assess the right eye, which was doing the same thing. But the new specialist that came in there said she was afraid to bother with the right eye because she didn't want to render me totally blind because I have some vision in the right eye in order to get around. So I was basically dropped off the list for help in that aspect. And I tried to get on the CUBA program, but the CUBA program, again, is not accepting retina and dialysis patients because they say they have to do too much taking care of if we go over there. Here, they tell me nothing much they could do for me anymore, so I had to get some of my family members in the United States to register me with the University of Miami and Bascom Palmer. Now, dialysis. Dialysis, for the most part, is fairly okay. However, I think the unit was placed in an area where a dialysis unit should never be placed, which is on the bottom floor of two floors up.
Before you do commentary on that, Marvin, okay. for us who do not understand what dialysis is, right, what do you go to PMH to do dialysis for and explain the process of what happened?
Okay, dialysis, it means or it gives an indication when you have to go on dialysis that your kidney function is below like 13 or 9, when your kidney function should be all the way up. But when it gets down to that level, then dialysis is required because what happens is the toxins in your blood through normal urine and blood detoxification normally, it doesn't happen like that anymore. So you have to basically go on the machines 3 times a week, basically, depending on the severity of the situation, in order to have your blood clean and your fluid levels kept at a normal balance in your blood.
And how many times do you go to dialysis?
3 times a week.
So
3 times a week.
Which days is that exactly?
Monday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
So every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, you find yourself at PMH to do dialysis.
Oh, yes. So it has become now basically my second home.
And how long, okay, what time do you reach there and what time do you leave there? I want to understand that process. And exactly when you say clean the blood, what does that mean?
Well, cleaning up the blood is like when you eat food, right? Or you drink water, or you drink soda, or you drink juices. There's a certain level of toxins. Of course, we know that because a lot of the foods are made up with a lot of chemicals and toxins in it that the body cannot identify with and has to get rid of. So you either get rid of them through the normal stool program or through the urinary tract. With dialysis, depending on the severity, all of that, most of that function has stopped. So when you eat a plate of food or you drink a glass of water, there is no way for it to be excreted out of the body. So the machines, it's like external kidneys, does the work for you.
And again, I want to know, what time do you arrive to the hospital and what time, and see how long this process take?
Okay, just recently, I've been getting there just around 7 a.m., the process, you sometimes you have a little weight because of the load on the Princess Margaret Hospital, the number of patients then, and then you but once you get in, you're identified for your treatment. You go in and you're allowed to stay for 4 hours on the machine. You have to stay 4 hours for a good detoxification and treatment. And then with me, I haven't. My access is under my skin and not outside. So whereas the persons with the exit access, they can finish their treatment in 4 hours and they can get patched up and just leave right away. With me, I have to stop the bleeding for the two access holes. And that takes anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour. So you're looking at roughly 5+ hours. On Monday, Wednesday, on Friday, in order to have a successful treatment.
So you spend at least 5 hours in the hospital every week in terms of Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's 5 hours per day.
And a typical person, it spends like 4 hours per day, 3 days a week.
Yes, sir. And on those days, see, I am a fighter. I am not the average person, so... And persons ask me where I go, and but where you going? You keep walking. I tell them I'm going to work. See, I don't look at it as dialysis per se. I look at it as going to work, I just don't let it get me, you know, because they tell me I'm one of the happiest and the most miserable dialysis patient there, you know. So I don't let it get me down, Mr. Nuri, and the nation. I look at it as work.
I understand. And now you can give a narrative of your experience. You go into PMH to do the dialysis, go into the ward. Briefly tell me that experience, your personal experience. And you can do commentary on what they need.
Well,
they need to
like I say, Mr. Nuri, that I, first of all, you know, we got some people in the country that make decisions, but they don't do consultation. They don't get advice or get all hands on board, like in my case. What should be, the patient should be consulted along with the doctors, along with the nurses and everybody else. It should be a tripartite agreement and everybody come to a consensus that all can live with. However, in the case of dialysis at PMH, I don't think that was done, because what they did, in a 3-story building, they placed the dialysis unit on the bottom floor. And everybody knows what happens when things race up top or go awry up top, everything falls to the bottom. For the most part, the dialysis unit is a workable unit. It is nice. The majority of the staff there are very good. Most of the nurses are very good. But then, you know, every place has its ups and downs. I ain't go boast of the fact that of the good part, because good, when you go there, good is expected. It's the parts that really, really, really affects us. And we have one or two persons there that do not have the patient's best interest at heart, one or two, not the majority. And because of the location of the dialysis unit right now, we have feces and feces water, actual feces and feces water raining down.
You actually saw this?
Patients and the unit.
You actually saw this?
Yes, I am there, Mr. Nuri, 3 times a week.
I'm sure the staff, the management, is aware that pipes are burst.
Yes, they are. I saw Mrs. Walker there on Wednesday past, on Friday past. She was in the unit. That's the first time I've seen her in about 6 years, but I know she's a very, very, you know, active person. But see, what is happening, I'm not speaking about the good, because just from us being alive, it's a lot of good, you know. But it is very, very, very dangerous and very toxic, in that the air conditions must be turned all the way out. We understand that for bacteria, but if you've got feces and sewer water dripping down to the point where you got to put plastic in the roof to stop it and move several machines and move chairs and stuff like that and still dialyze and work in the environment, That is very dangerous. The problem is we have some persons who don't want to do their jobs properly and have the unit shut down for a day or two. We can be outsourced for until then and have the unit properly fixed or relocated. So they're dialyzing us and they have toxins and stuff in the air, and then they're wondering why the patients are getting very ill and being on the ward for 2, 3, 4 months with toxins in the blood.
On a side note, have any, on a typical day, let me ask this first. On a typical day when you are being dialyzed, I think that's the word, right? On the dialysis, how many people are in there with you in terms of either waiting in the waiting room, say they go in, or enough machines that they are on the machine for the 4 hours? How many people on a typical day is in the hospital doing that?
Okay, let me put it to you like this. We have a total of, I think, about 23 or 24 machines to be used. However, the dialysis unit is overwhelmed in that we have possibly over 100 patients. There are two rotations, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So we got about 100 patients. The first thing is, we're short staffed, so they're overworking those nurses. Those nurses try their best, but they're being overworked. With the 24 machines, we go on a 4-hour rotation per day, in which we start at 5 a.m. in the morning, and then we end at 11 o'clock at night. However, you have to fit in there. And with the overage, when we have more patients added to the workload, what happens is we have to outsource them. The PHA outsources them to like Renal House and Centerville Dialysis Unit and the other units out there in order to accommodate the load. We are in the Bahamas, we have about 600-700 or more dialysis patients to be serving.
I'm thinking, listening to your story, and I'm thinking now how you as a group, because I'm assuming that you have created friendship bonds, family, because you're there every week with these people 3 times a week for 4 or 5 hours there. Have this family of persons on dialysis ever come together to write a letter and say, hey, we are concerned about the conditions and these are our recommendations. These are things I think you need to highlight and look at. No, we're grateful. I know it's hard to say the word grateful when you're paying taxes, right? You expect service, especially with spending money. But have you come together and say, hey, a public health authority, these are some issues. I'm not sure if you all know about them.
Mr. Nuri, you know something? I'm very happy that you asked that question, right? Let me give you just a little pre-thing before I answer that. So, and I worked at the Bahamas Telecommunications Corporation for 30 years. I was a shop steward for the majority of the 30 years and a chief shop steward under Robert Farquharson for about a year or two. So I've studied twice in Barbados for union laws. I've also studied with Mr. Minister Marine Monroe for 6 weeks at R.M. Bailey. We had a class there on legal law in order to be able to carry out our union shop steward duties. I've studied with Robert Farquharson and with the lady name, I forget what her name was, at Workers' House as well. So I'm well certified in laws. Now, when I got into dialysis, where the clash came in was because when I saw certain things happening, being a unionist, a trade unionist, I spoke out against it. Of course, I didn't know it was going to get me in the kind of trouble that I'm in today. With one or two members of the staff. But I tried my best as a unionist, a trade unionist, to let the patients know that according to the Patient Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the patients are of paramount importance. However, certain staff members have relegated us, our status, to third rank It's about them, the doctor, then the staff, and then the patient. And that is wrong. And that is why they have basically relegated me to a troublemaker in the department. And it's not so. I'm standing up, trying to stand up for the rights of those who are afraid out of their wits to speak because of the way they have relegated the patients to third authority in there. And of course, you know, in dialysis, if you could say, oops, easy. And they're very afraid to speak up. I've tried my best.
I know one or two patients. In the United States, they tend to have patient advocate groups who go around and asking patients, how you feel? How can we improve our service? This is their job. They come around and ask these types of questions, right? Since you've been doing this, how long have you been doing this again, dialysis again?
I've been doing it 5 plus, possibly 6 years. I didn't lost count.
So 6 years.
I look to live to be 81.
Yes. So 6 years you've been doing this. Have you ever been visited by any patient advocate group or customer service group?
See, Nuri, I can be real with you. You know, I ain't got much time in this fourth quarter. I can be real with you. I've been to the patient's advocate. I've taken letters. As a matter of fact, they credited me with one of the first smartest patients to write. Well, that's because of my union background. I wrote letters on certain things that I saw going on in the department. Patient advocates were convinced, you know, but they assured me that they would write their reports and send on the concerns that I have about what's happening in the unit. Unfortunately, you only never to get a response back. They don't respond back. I don't know if it's a cover procedure or whatever the case may be, but you never get a response. And when you complain as much as I do, when you see atrocities like they're not allowing you to eat 5 o'clock in the morning, you can't get no breakfast, and you speak out against it, they push back on you and they never give you a response, or they find something they pull off the internet, something they pull off YouTube, but nobody follows, and they make that the hard and fast rules, which I know better. So, patient advocate. I know who they're working for, but for me, they ain't really working for the patient. I could safely say that I just had an experience with one of them the other day. They ain't really truly working for the patient.
But let's make this exchange personal, right? Because you battle with diabetes, you battle with kidney failure, you have renal, I think that's what you pronounce it correctly, eye issues, right? And this is, the interview is about your eye issues and appendage surgery, and you need support. How much money are you hoping to be, that you need?
Well, see, the thing about that, especially the United States of America, and coming from here, the initial visits just to get in would round me up at about possibly $1,500. That's the reason why I have a couple dollars saved.
So you need about $1,500 for the initial visit?
Yeah, just to get in the initial visit. And then when they make their assessment as to what, then all hell may break loose. I'll probably have to reschedule appointments and come back, you know, or if I could, the extra couple dollars that I have, if I can have the procedure started, which I know is going to be procedures because of the retina. I'll have to probably come back and go to the Bahamian thing, the cookout. And it's really, you know, this disheartening that we still got to be doing cookouts and this kind of thing. But it is what it is, Mr. Neri, you know.
What about the national health insurance? Surely that comes in effect to help you out with your various ailments.
Well, there's only certain degrees of help they're helping you with, and to go foreign because you can't get stuff done here. I don't think they push that far. They don't go that far. So you got to do your cookouts. You got to do your tele stuff like what I'm doing, and hope you get up another $200-$300 saved in the bank. in order to make it.
Yes. I'm talking to Marvin Johnson, who is petitioning the Bahamian public to help him with a pending surgery that he's going to have in the United States. It's about $1,500 that he is trying to acquire to get an assessment about his eye surgery. He is a dialysis patient at a PMH, right? Kidney failure. And we're going to interview him more on that. But I have Aaron Green still who stayed back with me just to read his note. And I want people who are listening to write down the information so that we can transfer funds to assist Marvin Johnson with that. So let me just break 1 minute, Marvin, for you and have Aaron read that.
From the break?
No
problem.
No, we can read this right before we go on the break. Then
no,
we'll go
no,
on the
I'm
break.
No, I'm saying from the beginning.
From the beginning, yeah, the whole thing.
So this is a sponsorship request from Marvin for Marvin Johnson's eye examination. Being a diabetic patient for more than 10 years has taken a serious toll on my body, including my eyesight. In an effort to recover and correct my vision, I have been able to secure an eye examination appointment in the state of Florida at the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute, where they will be examining the current condition of my eyesight in totality and take the necessary corrective measures in restoring my vision. Due to my current employment circumstances, I am requesting your assistance via monetary donations to acquire a total of $1,500 on or before December 18th, 2023. I am scheduled to travel to the United States of America on December 19th, 2023 to meet the eye appointment. I am accepting monetary donations via the below banking details, wire transfer or direct deposit and or cash. The bank name, Royal Bank of Canada. Bank account number, 731-2895. Branch number, 05745 Palmdale Branch. Account name, Marvin Roy Johnson. Your kind assistance in this endeavor would be greatly appreciated as I explore all avenues in restoring my eyesight. Should you have any questions and or concerns or would like to know more, feel free to contact me via my mobile number, 242-565-0931.
Repeat that phone number again for me, please.
242-565-0931.
Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead, Marvin.
I really appreciate that, but before you go to your break, I would really like to thank Guardian Radio for his assistance, yourself, Ms. Erin Nuri, and like you say, we conversate all the time. You know, a lot of people don't know that. But I would also like to thank Naughty has climbed on board to help. And I would also like to thank Ms. Glenys Anna Martin. She's climbed on board as the acting Prime Minister, Minister Martin. Joe Moe Campbell, I would like to thank him. And several other persons, independent thinker. My children have risen to the occasion. Marva, Aries, Kalia, and Giovanni. Who assisted me in doing all the letters and stuff. So I'd like to thank everybody for assisting me because, you know, it didn't make no sense. If I could have an opportunity to continue to see a bit, then I wouldn't need nobody to help me or hold me and move me around. That's one less person everybody will have to help. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm going on this endeavor. And I'd really like to thank you, Mr. Nuri and Guardian Radio and all those supporters out there.
We're going to take a short break now. We'll continue to hear from Marvin. I'm appealing to the Listen Radio audience to reach out to him to help him do this assessment, right? And also to talk about diabetes and the warnings for this, because that's near and dear to me, right? Especially having issues with my vision. I know when I was terrified, I said, my God, I'm going blind. I can't see nothing. And to know that Marvin is going through this to an extreme level where my eyes are just blurry. You know, I just, you know, seeing shadows. Marvin could lose his sight altogether. Right? That's some serious things. But let's take this break right now and we'll come back. Marvin, stay on the line. And I want you to talk about some diabetes, talk about some warning signs that you felt that, you know, other people who are going through this diabetes plague may not take it seriously and what happened to you. We're going to warn those people. This God in Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're talking to Marvin Johnson about his journey. We'll be right back.
I'm dreaming, dreaming of a white, white Christmas. You're just like
every day, countless Bahamians fall asleep hungry. But by working together, we can change this.
AML has committed $20,000 to provide nutritious meals for those in need during the holiday season.
As the holidays approach, help spread love and hope by supporting AML's 8th annual Feed 5000 program.
Donate today at any Solomon's, Fresh Market, Crossrite, Exuma Market, and Domino's Pizza.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. This morning we're talking to Mr. Marvin Johnson in his request. Mr. Johnson is requesting the public's support in his health journey. He has been plagued with vision issues due to diabetes. And today we are discussing his journey, some of the obstacles that he has faced in this journey. And we're going to continue that conversation. Mr. Johnson, are you back with us?
Yes, ma'am, I'm back.
All right, Mr. Johnson, we have a caller on the line. Let's go to that second caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, CA. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. You know, I will try to do my best, see how I can, what little I can do. But, you know, it's a crying shame when we can find $50,000 to spend on an inanimate tree, when we got human beings who are suffering out here. I mean, we are a country of misplaced priorities. But, Mr. Johnson, I think in the last budget, some $10 million was set aside for catastrophic care or something like that. Are you able to access any money from the government?
Not with reference, not right at present. Not right now. I don't think they have all of their logistics in place as yet. So, you know, rather I've been battling with this from 2014. So, I done lost one totally sight in one eye. So before I totally lose it in the other, I gotta jump in and swim.
But we are a rich country. We are a wealthy country. You shouldn't be going to scrap and run for no $1,500, Mr. Johnson. And I'm hoping that the Prime Minister's office is listening, Mr. Raming and all of them down there, and I'm hoping that by the end of the day, that the Prime Minister's office would take care of all of your expense because you are a human being who need help. That Christmas tree, they can take that down in a couple of weeks and throw it in the garbage, and they can spend another $100,000 next year. So I hope by the end of this day, Mr. Johnson, that the message gets to the government that they need to get their priorities right. Thank you for
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to continue the conversation. I mean, I want you to continue to tell us your story. But, you know, the thing that arises for me, and one of the reasons why I've been silent for the whole conversation is because I can't stop thinking about the need to focus on structural reform versus charity. And the misplaced burden, right? The misplaced burden on the patient. That the patient has to figure out how to afford this health care in a system that says it offers this health care. But I see we have another caller coming in. Let's get to this caller because I think they want to speak to you directly, and then we continue with your story. Producer, let's take this second call. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, C. Neary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, Lord, it's my job.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Like my staff. Okay, sir.
Okay.
You know, I'm all familiar with your story because I had my deceased husband who also had dialysis. And I know that he didn't get an operation. So have you ever considered a kidney donor?
Well, you know, we don't do that here. So... I think my kids ready to give one of their kidneys yet. So
it can be done successfully, you know. I've seen person, as they say, have lived with kidney, for some time. And
transplant, yes.
I've had water done, and they're still around doing pretty well. So you could consider that.
Yeah.
Aaron, continue to throw that number. I think I missed it, but I know how to reach out to you on Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to donate because I love this voice. This man has made great contribution to this nation. Very positive. So persons like myself and others, Paki, them contract money. Johnson,
oh, Lord.
Thank you.
So that he could continue to be an advocate for this nation. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
That's all right, sir. Okay?
I appreciate you. I really do.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. And this is one of the reasons...
Pardon me?
Okay, thanks very much. I appreciate it, caller. But this is one of the reasons why I invited Marvin Johnson on the radio to share his story, because he is an advocate for a better Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he calls it as he sees it, right? He has added and contributed to the national dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said his voice needs to be heard, and if he needs help, I am duty-bound. The Bahamas is duty-bound. The listening audience are duty-bound to try to assist.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, $1,500 is much. But it's a life-changing money.
Yeah.
Especially in a system where healthcare, I thought that we had access to it. Bahamians shouldn't be suffering.
And here's the problem. Even when we have access to it, it appears that we don't have access to it. We don't understand the patient caregiver dynamic. That the patient is the patient. There's something wrong with them, and so we expect them to be uncomfortable. We expect them to be unreasonable. We expect them to be difficult to talk to. That should not be a barrier to me accessing healthcare. I'm in pain.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. And also, we got another caller calling in, and I've got two texts. One text says, I wish to donate $100 to this man. God bless him and keep him. God healed blind. There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
This is going to expose me. And many others with vision issues. He can do it again. This is a powerful show. My mother went through the same as a diabetic, but she had insurance. Mr. Johnson, I want to ask you about that in particular. How difficult is it to get insurance coverage for diabetes, especially if you already had insurance before you were diagnosed with diabetes?
Well, Ms. Green, Mr. Neary, and the nation, you know, that question, that don't even come up, especially if you have comorbidities, serious comorbidities like diabetes. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody can insure you. The only person to insure you would be a company that will insure you for your final burial expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is. But I have to tell you, the only way you get insurance, we ain't care what you got.
Yeah.
You got to pay final burying by burial expense. If I had to join such a program,
I got you.
So that I don't leave that burden on too much people. And when the final, you ain't want to be thinking every month you got to pay that with your final burial expense, but it is what it is.
Marvin, I have another phone call there. Let me engage them so they can speak to you. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in my friend because I just found who this is all the while. He's calling him Stopper. This is Marvin Johnson. This is one of my heroes who used to coach me in track and field. He beat me in the 100 when I was a junior.
Yeah, yeah.
Marvin, I didn't know this is you all the while. And so, I just want everybody to know this guy was the fastest guy in junior school. And was very athletic. I saw Barry Ramsey. You know Barry, you heard Barry had a stroke, right? I was diabetic, right, Marvin?
Yeah, I was the first person that dethroned Joey Wells in 100 meters.
Yeah, but you know they cheat me when they say yes, I can with him and that person. He's running a Curry Davis.
I know you schoolmate.
Yeah, but you saying it with me and you, I saw you a few years ago, but I think you had spoken to me, but I got your number, Marvin, but I'm so sad to hear that, brother. I mean, when we come from so far, but I hear you saying me better than Johnny better than John, but you didn't tell him how close me and you was. And
yeah,
was,
man. Yeah, man.
Tell him, man, listen, we used to brag about you and all. You
yeah, man. Yeah, but man, listen, all Marvin, the best,
yeah,
you
I
know.
Yeah, I hate you, brother. And then and me and your mom working accounts together, Ms. Taylor.
Yeah, speaking
yeah,
about.
That, man, it's so good to hear. You see that new you bring me and my brother together. I hear this person. I keep calling you Stopper, not knowing who you is. And this journey is powerful, you know, Marvin, because I had my own challenges, right?
Yeah.
But you know this, I'll call you on the phone, brother.
But listen, you know who was a big help too? I was going to say it before the show, but since you're talking about schoolmates, Yolanda Fernanda and that 81 class of St. John's College.
Yeah, I think she's in the chat.
They got my back, buddy.
So you got in contact with Sherry and
Sherry. Yeah, man. Yolanda's my point woman. Yolanda Fernanda.
Yeah, if you could talk over here, man. Hey, God. Yeah, bless him, Marvin.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, 52. For the other people who want to reach out to Mr. Marvin Johnson, the number is 242-565-0931. 242-565-0931. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Come a second. Because
Time up.
No. We need to talk about structural reform versus charity, right?
Uh-huh.
See what happened just now? Just on the air, not only did you two reconnect, but you reconnected with a whole bunch of people, right, who are not a part of the show.
Yeah.
One of the ways that we address this beyond the short-term, immediate, dire, urgent need to raise funds is to continue this conversation about the need to shift from charity to structural reform. Something as simple as a public space, right? Like the attitude that we have about sick people. First of all, we just assume you're sick means you're shut in. That if you're sick, you're shut in. But we socially impede ourselves. We create our own barriers by the ways that we deal with our health and our lack of health. First thing we do is we hide that we're not well. We don't want people to know, almost as if it's a burden. But what's an even greater burden is realizing that somebody who is very close to you is extremely ill and you didn't know, or passed away and you didn't know, right? And so we realize, though, that when we do connect, there are people who are prepared to support us. There are people who didn't know that we needed their support. And so one of the ways I think that we can encourage people and civil society organizations is that we need to create mechanisms to make need more visible. But
yes,
not in a way that diminishes or degrades people. We need to break this culture that if you're needy, you should be ashamed.
Yeah.
Right? And so I want to thank you today for being so public about your journey, because it becomes the model for other people to not hide, you know, that that there are people in your community that just didn't know that their help was needed. The second thing is that we need to reinforce our healthcare system with actual practical policies. People need healthcare. That this whole insurance thing that, oh, this is a pre-existing condition, that contradicts with the fundamental right to access to healthcare. And we need to have a very serious discussion because, I mean, we've gotten texts upon texts from people saying, I went through the same situation. I'm dealing with the same
situation.
We
have a lot of texts of people who say they're going through dialysis and are concerned. We just got some people who are dropping off some money at the radio station for you, Marvin. Hey, Mr. Skinner, on behalf of Denarian, just drop off an envelope for you.
And I'll be getting. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
I really appreciate it.
Definitely. And I have a number of persons pledging saying they will bring it here to The Guardian, and I guess I'll reach out to you and drop it off.
Sure, I get it, and I would really like to thank Mr. Trevor Davis from Quality Homes. He has pledged. Eddie Ford, Mr. Jeff Munker at NIB. Those persons, you know, I wish I could say, and I'm going to say it, because like you all say, I'm straightforward. I wish I could say that for the wider Valley Boys, but I've been in the Valley Boys from 8 years old. I've basically been relegated to the back room. But those few Valley Boys have stepped up and have offered to help.
Mr. Johnson, we are almost out of time. I want to get all of this information out. There's a texter that said, did you say $1,500 or $15,000? Please clarify.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I take as I need.
Okay.
And $1,500 right now would get me through.
They put in
now,
prayers.
If it amounts to more than that, I know exactly what to do with it.
Absolutely. Mr. Johnson, the prayers are out there. Bank name, Royal Bank of Canada. Bank account number 7312-895. That's 7312-895. Bank branch number 05745 Palmdale branch. Account name, Marvin Roy Johnson.
Yes. We're already out of time. Thank you very much, Marvin Johnson. Diabetes is a serious thing in the Bahamas. It leads to serious ailment. Marvin is going through his kidney issues. Of course, he's having issues with his sight, all because of diabetes-related illness, right? And I give you the last 30 seconds, Marvin. 30 seconds.
Okay, but if there is anybody out there, because of my journey, my long years of journey with diabetes, I was able to basically cure myself with an elderly woman from Crooked Island. She gave me a simple remedy that may help somebody. And if I could extend that help to anybody out there, they can call me at the number. And it's a very simple recipe that she gave me. And if I could help any one of you, call me. I would do it.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.